Shadow work is one of the most popular topics that we teach here at the Sisters Enchanted. Tarot might be number one, but shadow work is definitely a close second, if not tied right up there. And it's also the one, though, that people have the most, I think, resistance to because of the phrase shadow work. It sounds really a little like, what is this eerie thing I'm about to do? And also, you don't want to do it wrong. And like, do you need journal prompts? Do you just do it? Is there like, are there steps? I don't even know. And it can sound overwhelming. And that is what we are going to talk about on today's episode of the podcast. If the word witch makes you feel full of power and excitement, if you love personal development but loathe boring love and light conversation, if a sexy combo of witchery and inner work piques your interest, you're in the right place. Welcome home, Magic Maker, and welcome to Expedition to Soul, the podcast brought to you by the Sisters Enchanted. I am joined today by my friend, Patty. Hi, Patty.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Yeah. Good, good, good. Patty is going to talk to us today. We're going to talk about shadow work, and Patty is in a perfect position to talk about shadow work, especially this time of year. One, she is the mastermind coach in our mastermind. That was a redundant sentence. She is the coach in our mastermind program, and Patty's birthday is in the spring season. So Patty can really, you know, relate to what comes up for people when it comes to shadows. She knows firsthand. She sees them all the time. She's like, that's a shadow. That's a shadow. Shadow, shadow, shadow. But just flying around. Patty sees them. She's like a fly swatter for the shadows. Like shadow, shadow, shadow. And yeah, in spring season with this Aries energy, which is right around the corner for us, is sort of, you know, your jam. So Patty, shadow work. Let's first, a quick, what is shadow work? I guess I'll say this and then you can give your perspective.
Okay.
Too. My quick way of describing it is anything from the past that's impacting your present, and then you're acting based on that, which is casting your future. That's the quick, what I think shadow work is. What would you say shadow work is from your perspective?
Well, I really liked, you know, because I have been in the Sisters Enchanted community for several years. I really liked, or it made sense to me when I learned that it's stories, like the stories that come up, right? Because I didn't have any idea. It did sound like this scary, like, what is this thing that that you know, people talk about? So realizing that it's a story and that it really is something that can be rewritten, like it can be in the moment. One of the biggest lessons I've learned about stuff like that is like, it doesn't have to be this drawn out process, right? It can be done in the moment and it can be an ongoing thing. So I guess, you know, a wrap up synopsis is knowing that it's a story, acknowledging or recognizing that story that's being illuminated or shown to me or that I realize, and rewriting it. And that's at least the, you know, I don't have to dive deep or whatever in that moment. It's just rewriting it or rephrasing that sentence or the focus of that negative story.
Yeah, for sure. I love that you pointed that out, that it can be very quick. It doesn't have to be a drawn out process. I find folks think they need to spend like 3 hours on a Saturday writing about some bad experience from the past. That can't be farther from the truth. Oh my gosh. If I had to do that, that's the worst way to spend a Saturday.
Yeah. Or that it's going to be in like this, I don't know what the right word is, but like this, you know, dark space for like, you know, months on end while you figure stuff out. It's like, no, that's not it at all.
No. Yeah. Yeah. We teach in our holistic witchery program this Five Eyes Spiral, which is a framework really for shifting your energy and your thoughts. And it can be used in a lot of different ways, but one of shadow work is part of that. And we do it really quickly. And I love to use it in my daily life as I gave this example actually recently. My whole family has been sick and my husband was in bed for like 3 to 4 days straight. I mean, he was in bed and I was still not feeling my best. He was really sick and I was less sick, but I still had to like parent and work. And I definitely had all these feelings of like, resentment and look at him being in bed for all these days, you know. And I had to do, and that's that instantaneous shadow work of like, actually, I'm having these feelings based on past things in our marriage that have nothing to do with right now. I mean, he was really, really sick. And the compassionate thing is to let him heal in bed because he's really sick. But what happened was the shadow story started to come up of like that feeling again of, oh no, no, I'm not getting help. Oh no, I'm floundering. Oh no, he's not showing up the way I want him to. And I had to do that shadow work instantaneously, like you said, to realize like, actually that's not true. And I'm all this stuff from the past is just, it's the feeling of it coming forward, which, really brings a point about shadow work where folks find something from their past, or when I say it's something from your past, and they are like, well, what if I don't want to address that? Or what if I can't remember? You know, what do you have to say about that? Somebody who's like, okay, well, I don't want to think of the past, yet you're telling me that it's
you're
my
telling
past.
Me that I have to rewrite the story. Well, exactly. The thing about shadow work in that aspect is like, we don't have to, or it's not like critical to face the thing or identify the exact moment. I have really learned the most and gotten the most results in anything really of, you know, the process in identifying the feeling. Like, I don't want to feel that way. So how else can I feel, or what can I do to feel differently? And that might be, that might identify the story, right? But if you're looking at something and like dreading it because you're saying, I don't want to talk about this, or I don't want to, even if it's journaling, I don't want to journal this exact experience. It's like, well, then write about how it felt, or talk about, or focus on how it felt and identify how you can write or say or do something different. So really just the feeling. You can find that, or I guess focus on that aspect of identifying the feeling, choosing a feeling, rewriting the feeling. And that really what I find, or what I have found, has more of a ripple effect, right? Like, if so, focus on one, on yourself and how you want to feel, it has the ripple effect of affecting all these other areas of your life, even if you're not aware of it. So focus on why you don't, you know, the feeling you don't want, and then what you do want instead.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. And in my example that I gave, I can really relate to that, because I just was like in one moment feeling so resentful. And, you know, this story of like, here I am again, you know, being the big one. And I had to really, that actually did not apply at all to the current situation, but it's those feelings that live in your energy, and they really, the emotions, they're tricky like that, because they latch in, and then in other scenarios that have nothing to do with any of that, it's just a feeling you recognize, and it like cues something in you. You're like, this is familiar, and then that feeling can just run through you. And it's really critical to acknowledge that, you know, not to try to tamp it down and just keep moving forward, because that's the shadow work part, I think, is the acknowledgement of, oh gosh, I'm feeling away. And if I keep feeling this way, though, what's that, you know, if I kept feeling the resentment and the like, oh, here I am again while he's in bed, you know, like that would, I'd be arguing with him and I'd probably pick a fight. And then he's going to feel like really mad because he has 102 degree fever and I'm mad at him, you know, for not doing whatever. And now he's going to be mad at me because I'm whatever. And it causes all this stuff for the future that's not helpful and I don't want. And that's where you do that instantaneous shadow work, is like, what is the feeling? What is true about right now? And if I stay with this, what's it casting, versus if I rewrite it, as you said, Patty, like rewrite the story, what new option is available to me?
And that's a good point. Asking what is true. Cause a lot of times we don't think of that, right? We just are so accustomed to that feeling that we've accepted it as true. It's like, oh, it's always been that way. Or that's what I always feel in this. So it's true. It's like, but what is really true? Like, your husband was sick. He wasn't, you know, lollygagging.
And really, like, what is true? And it's, and for people who aren't, like, we're taught to just squash down our emotions and like power through and cry less and be less emotional. And we're not taught to feel the emotion and say like, oh, what does this emotion need right now in order to go in a helpful place and not marinate and turn into a chaos monster. That's what my emotions turn into when left unchecked. They turn into chaos monsters.
Great visual.
Yeah, the first time I've ever said that, but I think that anybody who knows me well would say that that tracks. They'd be like, oh yes, that's the best way to describe Sarah when she has unchecked emotions. Big chaos monster. With this spring energy, so we're wrapping up Pisces season and about to hit the astrological new year with the spring equinox and Aries energy. Where might you guess, based on all of the people that you work with and that you've seen from in our community? And like I said, you got your shadow work like fly swatter. Yes. You're like shadow story. Where would you guess that the shadows and the kind of negative associations and feelings might start bubbling up for people this time of year?
Things that I can speak to and have also noticed in others, because we think of, or spring is the time, right? Like things start happening. There's more activity going on and things are, you know, there's things starting, things being born, actions being taken, if you're following the cyclical pattern of the seasons. And people may feel like, I don't have the energy. I don't have energy. I don't want to start anything. It's like, and so where is that? You know, how does that, how can people look at that and say, if it doesn't align with this natural cycle or phase that's happening right now, why? You know, what is the story there? Or why am I feeling like I don't want to start, right? Like I would not want to start something, because even though I'm an Aries, which ties into this energy, I have started things before and not finished them, or started and failed at them, or started and someone laughed or whatever. So that could be that type of disconnect. So looking at why is it our energy aligned with the seasonal energy?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point about this. And I think that can really, if you're a person who's afraid of failure, set you up to be afraid to take action, because the windows are open and the sun is out, hopefully. And it's like the whole invitation is there, but there's resistance because of these past experiences. What another thing that folks talk about a lot this time of year is spring cleaning. And really, we also know that the fall and autumn is a beautiful time for decluttering. But I think because we've had this stagnant energy of windows closed and not getting the fresh air in, and so we open the windows and we dust everything off and bring in the fresh air. But where might you see shadow work pop up for people in that situation?
What comes to mind is this idea of spring cleaning, and then what am I going to do with it? Like, what am I creating the space for? And also, I don't know if that came out quite right, but so we have this idea of spring cleaning, but we might have resistance, or someone might experience resistance to actually cleaning out that energy or cleaning out things, because it still feels like this comfort, right? We don't want to get rid of that stuff to be uncomfortable in a new space or with a cleaner space or cleaner energy, because it's like, then what? What happens with that?
Yeah. And I forget the phrase. There is a phrase for this and I cannot think of it right now. But when we want to, whether it's actual physical stuff to declutter or things from your life or your mind or your energy, when we invested in something, so whether it's we spent money on a thing or really tied our identity to a piece of ourselves, and then we get rid of it, it makes us feel bad because we've invested in it. So if you spent money on, I don't know, like a bunch of candles and shoes, or I don't know, and they're all just sitting there in a box, and then you don't want to get rid of it because it means you wasted money. Or if you invested in your identity that I see this all the time with people where they've really invested their identity in something, that they're like a child of some situation that has made mm-hmm. them who they are. You know, like maybe they had a parent that was really awful in some way, or they got in like a life-changing car accident at some point in time, or whatever like the incident is.
Yeah.
And it's not just that they, that thing happened, but they make it part of their identity. Like, this is, I can't do it because, or this is hard for me because, and the resistance to letting go of the story or letting go of the stuff is, again, because you've just invested in the stuff with money, or you invested in the identity, and it's now part of your, like, how you validate yourself. You know, like, it's valid for this to be hard for me because of this situation. And there is a phrase, and I cannot think of it, but I think you could see that with shadow work this time of year, this resistance to let go of the things that are, they now mean something about us.
Yeah. You know? And that actually ties in, like, just as you're saying that, with this Aries energy, right? Because Aries is like about me. Who am I? What do I want to, you know, experience? Yeah. What is my identity, since it is the beginning of the zodiac calendar? And uh-huh. so, in a sense, tying that, like, what if you have this attached identity to being an employee or being in the corporate world, and uh-huh. you want to step into a different one, you know, a creative identity or an entrepreneur or a different job field altogether, but you have all these clothes or a yes. wardrobe that is attached to this identity. It's like, oh, this is my corporate identity. It's like, you know, but no, that's what you did. That's what the clothes you wear for what you did or for your, yeah. what you do. But I can see that for sure. Like, how can I get rid of this? I don't know what to replace it with, or what would, I'll have nothing left if I get rid of this.
Yeah. Clothes. Oh, that's such a good example, because like people, that career one, I hear this from people all the time, that they, and it's such a big one. And I have to say I'm biased, because obviously I've been self-employed for 10 years this wow. spring. I know. May 1st, I got the phone call that I worked for a small business, and then my office closed, and the person I worked for, like, we never talked, but very rarely did we communicate. Mm-hmm. She worked like an hour and a half away in a different office, like the head office. And then I worked local to where I live, and I worked alone. And she texted me, and she was like, give me a call. And I called her, and I knew, I was like, she's going to, mm-hmm. we had been like slowing down in customers and our clients. And I was due to have my first kid in July. So we were going to have to get somebody to take the clients that I had at least for mm-hmm. like 2 months. And I knew, I was like, it's just the financial of paying for another person plus me to still run it plus the office. And I was like, I could do the math, you know,
yeah.
breaking even, and there's no reason for her to keep doing it. So I call it anyway. Yeah. So 10 years, and mm-hmm. I could totally see that, because you wrap so much in that experience. Like, if you choose to live near where you work, or you buy a car for your commute, or you invest in additional trainings to stay at that job. And that's a huge example, because people tell me all the time about how they wish they could do something different for work, but they can't because of X, Y, and Z, or yeah. They just need to put in this much more time, or they have to commute so far and they can't find something else. And those things all feel, they're so true and valid. And also, there's definitely a shadow story
yeah.
about
yeah.
like, what's actually possible. And I think if you start to take apart your identity from all of that, it becomes more clear. But that's not an easy thing for people to do.
Yes. And even taking it like the step before that, people, I think, because you, I think, have an example with this as well, is like, you got this degree and you have it to use in that field, right? And so yeah. I heard a comedian, and I wish I could remember which comedian I heard say that, but that a college degree is actually just a resume for an employer. It shows that you can show up somewhere for an extended period of time, that you can learn something. But
I've heard that joke too.
We can have this connection of like, oh, but it's in this field, so I need yeah. to work in this field because I've spent all this time, or have borrowed all this money, or my parents yeah. have paid all this money to be in this field.
I know. I think my master's degree was like $45,000, I want to yeah. say. It was a lot, you know, and at the yeah. time I think I made like $15 an hour working in a clothing store as like a manager making $15 an hour. But yeah, it was just, and now, I mean, I definitely use what I learned about people, you mm-hmm. know, but like, I could have learned that with probably just by getting like an associate's degree in psychology and not a whole ass master's right. degree for $45,000. I probably could have spent like $5,000 and learned the same. Anyway, yeah, that's so true. And that attachment to like, but I spent all that money mm-hmm. and, you know, I took the tests and I got certified to teach. And what does it say about me if I don't do that? Mm-hmm. Lots of shadow work. It's for all of us.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, because what some of the questions we get around shadow work, and we talked about this earlier, like the stories from the past that come up and how you don't really, it's not necessary to know the exact story if you can identify like the feeling that's coming up. Mm-hmm. But there is a distinction between coaching, therapy, and shadow work that you do for yourself. I think, you know, shadow work we can do for ourselves to a point where we can become more self-aware, get out of our own way. I think therapy is helpful when you get really, if you go into a downward thought loop about something and you just mm-hmm. can't get stuck out of you can't get out of the negative emotion, you can't stop thinking about it, and it feels like opening the door is even too much. Like, that is a good indicator that therapy would be helpful. And then coaching is really when you're like, okay, I know this to be true about myself, mm-hmm. yet I can't quite change the thing. Like, I've reached a point where, and I can't see past what I've learned about myself.
Yeah.
Do you have another way of saying that, or like how you would, because you are the coach in our mastermind program, and it's your job to call people on their nonsense.
Yes. And I have said many times, I am not a therapist. I am a coach. Right. And a very also, I don't want to say simplistic, but maybe a general focus is like when you said like you can't get out of that attachment to the emotion. It's therapy, I think, is more of looking backwards, just as a very simplified look, looking backwards and addressing those things. And yes, going through the process of therapy in unlocking or pulling out things that you need to. Whereas coaching is forward. So I think if therapy helps you address your past and coaching helps you move forward to what you want, and you're just at a point where you need help or guidance or accountability, and that is, you know, or things reflected back to, because we've experienced that too, where we have to say things back to them so they can actually, the people that are being coached can hear what is actually being said or how other people are hearing it. And so that might be very basic, but that's a way that I start to differentiate with people.
Yeah. And explain that. I just hired a coach who focuses on energetic leadership. And because I feel like, I just felt like, I mean, I teach all these things at Holistic Witchery and here at Sisters mm-hmm. Enchanted. And I mean, I have had therapists tell me like, you're so self-aware. Just the one thing I can help you with is talking you through your decision. So you make one and I'll help talk you through it. But I got to this point where I really felt like, I don't know how else to proceed. Like, I've used every tool I have. Mm-hmm. I think I need more tools. And so this coach that I'm working with, she did a really good, so this is an example of it in action for me. I was just talking to her and she wrote down that I said the word fear afraid or fear, like some variation three times mm-hmm. in like a 4 minute, you know, and like talking to her. And if you had asked me, like, are you afraid of X, Y, and Z? I would have been like, no, of course not. And here's the proof. Like, I run a business. Like, I'm not afraid of that. But she said, you've said it three times. And then I really was like, you're right, I did. And then I thought about it. And I'm like, actually, I think that I am. I'm very nervous about something that happened in the past happening again. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't put the right things in place. And then that, having somebody reflect back and that awareness, yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, you're so right. And then the focus was, okay, well, so now you know. So what are the tools you're using just to make sure you don't do the same thing again? And I was like, oh, I just got coached hard.
Yeah. Because it's so true. I mean, for coaches and people who aren't coaches, we don't really hear how it's coming out of our mouth, right? We don't hear it. We hear what we think we're saying or what we think we want to communicate or convey. But other people, and also in that aspect, someone who is being coached and might not be accustomed to being coached is actually having someone who is truly listening to them, right? Truly listening. Yeah. What do we call active listening to what they're saying, as opposed to listening to respond, which they might also not be accustomed to. And that's something that is definitely a coaching practice to, you know, to get into the habit and practice of not listening to what I'm going to say, but listening to hear what they are actually saying. Mm-hmm.
That is so true. And that's one of the things that we do in all of our programs here. And we have it like in our internal documentation too, that we don't, if we're going to give advice, we will qualify it and say, this is an opinion. Do you want advice? Because we are not here to tell you what to do. We're here to reflect back to you what you just said to us.
Yep.
And, you know, point that out to you. And I think that people, and especially women in particular, were so used to getting in these conversations where it's like, oh, listen to all these things. And then you're like, oh yeah, me too. And I commiserate. And like, let's just have wine and commiserate together. And we're over here like, this is what you just said. So now what are you going to do about it? And that's not, if you're not used to that, that is a whole other way of receiving, you know, conversation from somebody, but it's very powerful if you
are ready. And it can be off-putting to the person at first, right? Like getting that back. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's very true. So yeah. And with the shadow work bit, I think that it's kind of like levels, you know, do your own internal shadow work also, which we teach in Holistic Witchery. Springtime is a beautiful time to explore where you feel resistance to the spring energy as it's coming up. Feelings of maybe even being behind because you like don't, now there's all this energy to do and you're like, what the heck do I even want to do? And the shadow work. And then therapy is totally for you if you're just stuck in negative thought loops and like the emotional depths, or you really want to process, if you really want somebody to listen to what that's you're saying point. And hold you, you know, that's more therapy. If you want, you know, the coaching part comes in with, which is what you get here in our programs, is like, it is true that that was a tough time. And it's also true that you get to make a different choice today.
Yes.
So there you go.
What is that choice going to be?
Yeah. So how can I help you like implement the choice? This is a fun talk. Thank you, Patty, for talking about shadow work and coaching and diving into the topics. Again, Patty is the coach in our mastermind program. Patty also teaches a vision board workshop in Holistic Witchery. And we have a free Spring Equinox Sacred Reset event. That's like the longest event title I think we've had, but it's the perfect one. It's just long for me to remember. That is starting in about a week. And Patty will be hanging around in the comments, and you'll see Patty here, there, and about. And I think, Patty, you're joining us for the call on the Sunday, I think, too. And maybe even some of the other ones during the week.
Yeah. I'll be jumping in.
Quite solidify that. But you'll see Patty around during that week. So you'll get to know more about Patty. All right. Well, thank you for hanging out.
Yep. Thank you. It was fun.
All right, y'all. Thanks for listening in. And until next time, we hope that you have an enchanted rest of your day ahead. If you love the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or a review. That helps us to get the word out about all we're doing here at the Sisters Enchanted. Thanks for being part of our community, and we'll see you in the next episode.